with another great interview, this time with the one and only dancing cowboy, Mingo Saldívar. And of course, he has his band, Los Tremendos Cuatro Espadas. And we're going to be talking to him about his time with Los Guadalupanos, you know, up to the present day, being honored at the Tejano Music Awards. And big shout out to Trisha Saldívar, who helped put all of this together. You know, she, of course, is the manager of Mingo. And it's always been a family thing, as you're going to learn. And hope you enjoy it. And let's go ahead and take it away. Thank you very much. I'm Baldomero El Parandero Cuellar, and you're listening to Rancho Alegre Radio. Okay, everybody, here we are, aquí in San Antonio, Texas. We are in the beautiful home of Mingo Saldívar. We are going to be speaking to him about his life, his career, and aquí, and you know, and with the Conjunto Music, and the man has crossed boundaries, and he's toured all over the world, and we're going to talk to him here. Mingo, muchas gracias for inviting us to your beautiful home.
Al contrario, Baldomero, gracias a ustedes porque agarraron el tiempo de venir a visitarnos, y aquí estamos a sus órdenes para contestar cualquier pregunta que tengan en referencia de la música de Conjunto Regional.
Seguro que sí.
And whatever you have, any questions you got, we can answer them if we know the answers.
Okay, yeah. Porque te digo, you know, a lot of people know of your music y todo, y más para los jóvenes que vienen para arriba, I want them to know Mingo Saldívar. I want them to know as a person y qué sufrió para llegar a este nivel, a su carrera. So, comenzando, ¿cuándo y dónde, where were you born, Mingo?
I was born in Marion, Texas, about 16, 17 miles from here, between Cibolo and Seguin. It's a little town called Marion, Texas. Uh-huh. And according to the story, Baldomero, when I was about 18 months old, my papa se movieron to San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
And then I was raised in San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
But I've lived in different areas. I lived in Minnesota 2 years. When I was a teenager, I lived in Anchorage, Alaska 7 years.
Fíjate.
And of course, we've been through to other countries in reference to the music.
Wow.
So, but I say that I'm from San Antonio.
Oh, okay.
And raised in San Antonio.
¿Y qué año fue cuando naciste? O la fecha de tu...
August 29th, 1936.
Oh, okay. ¿Y cómo se llamaban tus papás, tu mamá?
Mis padres se llamaban Pauline Solís Saldívar.
Uh-huh.
My dad's name was Jesús Saldívar Jr.
Oh, okay.
And the unique names de los abuelos.
If you want to mention them, whatever you want to mention.
Mis abuelos por parte de mi papá era el señor Jesús Saldívar.
Okay.
Y el papá de mi madre, Pauline, él se llamaba Octaviano Solís.
Oh, okay. ¿Qué cosa? Esos nombres ya se están desapareciendo.
Yeah, beautiful names.
They're beautiful names. Yeah. You know, ya no hay los Bonifacios ni...
No, yeah. And you can tell right now, when it's an old name from the old school.
Oh, sí. Oh, yeah.
As soon as you hear it, it's got to be from the old school.
That's right, that's right. Y cuando yo oigo esos nombres, ¿cómo se llama? Me gusta preguntar, ¿dónde gratis ese nombre? Pues siempre hay una historia.
¿Seguro, sí?
Those names. Siempre hay nombres. That's what I like about those names.
Y también, si te acuerdas... the names came a lot because of whatever, when we were born, they went to the calendar.
That's right.
Remember that?
Yes, that's right. That's
I think that's where Domingo came from. So.
Okay. ¿Quién te enseñó tu acordeón? Who taught you your...
Actually, I learned, for the most part of it, I learned on my own.
Oh, okay.
But by looking... I was about 9, 10, and 11 years old.
Fíjate.
Me and this friend of mine, Manuel Guerrero, el sargento que canta, they called him. He's not with us anymore.
Oh, okay.
Manuel Guerrero.
En paz descanse.
En paz descanse, su alma. We used to, sometimes, you know, we'd get together after school, and we'd go downtown. Uh-huh. This is when I was living in, on the west side part of San Antonio. Mm-hmm. And we'd go check out Mr. Valerio Longoria. There was a lot of older gentlemen that were playing in those little clubs. We were not allowed to go in.
Right.
But we used to, you know, peek through the windows. And they only had, they didn't have doors, actually, in this particular part of San Antonio.
Right.
It was just curtains. And we looked in there, and Manuel would look at Valerio's, what he was doing
right.
with his left hand, and I would see what he was doing with his right hand. And then we'd, you know, not run, but walk fast back home
right.
And see we could how much we could remember
wow.
of it. And of course, when you're young, you are able to retain information
yes. Yes.
And for longer periods than right. it is now. So, and we learned by that, and... doing that, and actually I learned to play guitar first through my dad.
Oh, okay.
And then I played drums after that. Then I played upright bass, tololoche.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then the accordion actually was the last thing.
Oh, wow.
That, and it became my main instrument.
Fíjate. So here we are with a little history lesson from Mingo Saldívar. We'll be right back here on Rancho Later Radio. We're going to be playing his music throughout the breaks. So be sure to keep listening here on Rancho Later Radio.
Cuando te vi me enamoré bien locamente y desde entonces eres todo mi pensar. Tan solo espero despertar y estar presente, y cuando duermo no te dejo de soñar. Puedes calmar con tus besitos mis pasiones, puedes borrar este dolor que hay en mi ser, porque el amor que yo te doy sin condiciones no necesita de otro amor de otro querer. Es para ti mi amor, es para ti. Mi amor es solamente para ti. Dime que sí, mi amor, dime que sí. Que tu cariño es todo para mí. Y mi futuro es que el futuro no me importa sin tu amor. Te haré feliz con mi querer, yo te lo juro. Nunca en la vida yo te causaré dolor. Es para ti mi amor, es para ti. Mi amor es solamente para ti. Dime que sí mi amor, dime que sí. Que tú
here we are back, Rancho Later Radio, with Mingo Saldívar. And Mingo, you mentioned your parents. ¿Y qué hacían ellos? ¿Eran rancheros? ¿De dónde, you know, viene la familia Saldívar?
Okay, eran we used to immigrants. We used to migrate to
okay.
the north, to Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota. And if it could be picked, we picked it.
I know that's right.
And then in Texas, of course, the cotton.
Oh, yes, yes.
And then in Casa Grande, Arizona, more cotton. And we did that for several years. Mom and Dad came from, according to their story, from ranchitos.
Uh-huh.
And very, very poor families.
Right, right.
And they used to tell us stories about how they grew up. And it was hard to believe, but I know they were true stories.
Right.
And sometimes when I tell the stories of my own self to the newer school, I know that it's hard for them to believe I'm saying.
Right.
But and mom and dad, we didn't have no radio at home. And there was no TVs that I knew of back then.
Right.
And this is like in 1948 and 1949. Uh-huh. So the only entertainment was mom and dad used to sing.
Okay.
And they sang like birds. Oh. I mean, praise the Lord. I thought I'll never be able to do something like that, to be able to harmonize.
Right.
And then dad told me how to do that. And he was the one that taught me a little bit about the guitar. And then dad started working. He was a waiter in a downtown Italian restaurant. Uh-huh. And I think he used to make like either $14 or $15 a week. So he made more in tips probably as a waiter than his salary. And mom used to be a housewife. And then when time came, sometimes they have to get us out of school early to leave for the field work. And that would take the whole summer. And then sometimes we come in late, enter school late. Uh-huh. After doing all the crops, the northern states, and then Texas, the cotton part of that. So the good thing about that, by the matter, was that my dad, my mom thought me, and I was the oldest in the family. We were eight of us.
Eight of you?
And taught us how to work. So
that's right, yeah.
That was good.
That was very important.
Oh, yeah.
¿Y cuántos hermanos y hermanas eran?
It was five brothers and three sisters.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think right now just it's me, Alex, Joe, Anita. I think there's four or five of us left.
Fíjate, qué cosa.
Yeah, pero we had a very rewarding life and being able to travel,
right?
Not on vacation, going to vacation, but to work, see different parts of America. You
seguro
know?
Que sí. Y una pregunta, pescador. ¿Tú aborrecías las frutas que piscabas? Because I know for a while I couldn't stand cherries because we don't.
Oh my God!
And then pepinos, I couldn't stand pepinos.
Pepinos and cherries, well. Cherries was, we used to look forward to that. We used to go to Green Bay, Wisconsin for that. And we used to, after the Betabel and after the whatever came, the Saque de Betabel and peas.
Uh-huh.
And then I don't know if cucumbers came before cherries or not, but finally when we got to go to Green Bay and Sturgeon Bay, Wisconsin, we used to look forward to that. But of course, it finally got old because we used to get out on the train. You need so many cherries. Oh my God, unbelievable!
Right?
But we did that.
It wasn't until maybe 4 or 5 years ago that I was able to eat pepinos otra vez.
No kidding. Yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Y una pregunta de you know who? What was your first bands? I know you played with Los Guadalupanos. That was much later.
Much later.
¿Quién fue uno de tus primeros grupos?
El primer grupo was like in late 48 or 49. It was El Conjunto Guerrero, Manuel Guerrero.
Manuel Guerrero, okay.
And his brother on guitar, and Manuel playing accordion, and me playing Tololoche,
okay.
Bright bass.
Right.
And they had this concurso going, a contest back then, and it would cost people a penny for each vote, to vote for the, there was like 20 bands, at least, maybe more.
Right.
And that was the first band that I ever played with, and just about solely locally, but we go as far as New Braunfels, I think Pleasanton, with chaperones, you know, with adults with us. And people would see the band and donate a penny a vote. Then we bring all those pennies, turn them into the radio station KIWW, that was located right on top of the Alameda Theater sits right now.
Oh, okay.
And I played with that band, and I played a little bit with Los Chavalitos during the same contest that was going on. But later on, for I don't know why, or sat with them or whatever it was. But anyway, and then after that, we used to, there was several salones in San Antonio on the west side.
Right.
Out there by the cemeteries. There was 3, 4, 5 salones.
Fíjate.
El Estrellita, Cielito, El Cielito Lindo. There was, I don't remember all the names, but we used to play there. And but the sets were like 30 minutes. There was, there'd be like a Valerio Longoria or Don Santiago Jimenez, a senior playing, and then would sort of sit in for a while and try to get more pennies, more votes.
Right.
And so after that, I missed out on those first, the early 50s because of the migrating to up north. But actually, when we went up north, is how I learned. I fell in love with country and western, which was called back then hillbilly music. And I heard all the Hank Williamses, all the Hank Snow, and all those country and western singers. And I learned those songs, and then I would I started writing, I would write a Spanish verse that would be similar to what the English story, to go along with the English story of their song. And then I started writing songs. I really fell in love with that. Back and forth to that, to Minnesota, we always went to the same rancher all the time. So we got to know him very well. And so one of those trips, I was 16 years old, I sort of ran away from home or stayed behind.
All right.
And with that family. And I learned more English songs. And on that last year, when the crops were over, Dad gave us a present to me and my brother, Jessica. So there was, we're the closest. We were 15 months apart.
Oh, okay.
And it gave him, bought him a 1937 Ford and bought me an accordion at the Twin Cities of Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Wow.
And so when they left, came down south, I stayed there, and I worked for this farmer, and I became a cook helper and the chauffeur for his wife, and taking the children to school and all that. And that turned out to be like 2 years with them. And then finally... I joined I volunteered for the draft back then. You could volunteer for the draft for 24 months.
Right.
And then, so that was good, and I did that. And I went to the Army, and then I went to jump school. I was a paratrooper with the 11th Airborne. And all this time, I was away from what's going on with the mainstream of conjunto music in Texas, especially in San Antonio.
Right.
But then when I returned home, I had a lot of catching up to do.
Right.
And of course, then I was able to play with more professional bands and learn more. And finally, back in the, I guess, 57, the middle part of 57, later part of 57, I joined Los Guadalupanos.
Oh, okay.
And then I started going on the road with them, and everything changed for me after that. I mean, then the recordings came into the picture.
Right.
And I started writing more songs. And I think I had beginner's luck with, I had a lot of songs written, but I had this particular one called Andan Diciendo.
Ah, sí.
And then I didn't think too much of that song back then. There was another song entitled Lo Que Dios Recoge. And the story of that one was about a happily married couple, and the lady gets sick and she passes away,
right.
And a guy misses her and he wishes he was with her,
right.
You know,
wow.
In heaven and all that. So, and that was side A.
Oh,
and side B was another theater just to fill in the thing.
Right, right.
And Andan de Sienda was the one
hit.
That, and it's been recorded to this day.
Oh, yes, by numerous.
Ramon,
by numerous artists.
Rubén Naranjo.
Oh, yeah.
Los Dinos, even. Mr. Quintanilla, back when he had a band.
Right, right, right.
Recorded that. But different bands and even trios. So I just kept on writing and being on the road. Then I joined the Guadalupanos, stayed with them like, oh, I think close to 5 years. And then right after that, I had a brother-in-law at Elmendorf Air Force Base in Anchorage,
uh-huh.
In the Air Force. And he had another couple of years to do with there. And he wrote to us, there was a lot of money to be made in Anchorage right after the Good Friday earthquake,
right, right.
64.
Uh-huh.
And so he helped us finance the trip. I bought a brand new Bel Air Chevy and piled the family in the car and one of my sisters and took off. It was like a 7-day trip. And but it was a very interesting trip.
I bet.
And went over there for 1 year, supposedly. But after my brother-in-law retired. He opened up a restaurant,
uh-huh.
And we worked in the restaurant. Washed dishes in the restaurant, cooked in the restaurant, cook helper, and then took my apron off when the crowd was good, and went out strolling with the guitar and or with the accordion.
Uh-huh.
And of course, there's an Army base and an Air Force base in Anchorage.
Okay,
Fort Ridge for the Army and Almaden for the Air Force, and I was always able to get Mexican musicians and from San Antonio to be
there. Of all places.
Yeah. But sometimes from California, Arizona, New Mexico, but most of the time from San Antonio.
Wow.
And so I always had a guitar player or a bass player. And anyway, we did the thing there with a restaurant. And when he retired from the Air Force, I stayed for a total of 7 years.
Fíjate.
Yeah, so Alaska was good to us. And
and who'd have thought Mexican music?
Oh, my God. That was the main thing. We were the only conjunto.
Yeah.
Not only in Anchorage, the whole state.
Right, right, right.
And, of course, now it's completely different,
right.
From the stories that I hear. But back then, there was a lot of good money to be made, and the music was good because there was no competition.
Right.
We used to play at the officers and NCO clubs on both bases,
Figure
the
that.
Army and Air Force. And down and in town, we played at the hotels, you name it. And it was we sort of chose where we wanted to play.
Right,
and,
right.
And we had a lot of good offers. So after that, I came back home, and again, I got behind,
uh-huh.
On what was going on. I had never heard about cumbias, and I got back like 1970, 71 or 70 and a half, something like that, and started learning the new thing was cumbias at that time.
Oh, okay.
And there was another group called Los Jinetes that I was a part of, and then El Dueto Carta Blanca, Georgie Maggie.
See, Georgie Maggie.
I was there for about 5 years or better.
Wow, wow.
And playing the accordion, and then in 75 or 76, I formed Los Cuatro Espadas.
Fíjate.
And sort of the rest is sort of history as far as my band is concerned.
Right. Okay, well, we're here with Mingo Saldiva. Let's go ahead and take another break. And if you're enjoying his music that we're showcasing here during this interview, please go to your local Tejano Conjunto, wherever they sell Tejano music, record shops. And I know in Austin we have Turntable Records. And in Corpus there's El Zarape Record Shop. And don't forget here, of course, the Mecca, Janie's Record Shop here in San Anto. Make the trip. Get some of his music for any of you that like country, conjunto, It's all good. So do yourself a favor. We'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio.
Venga, se mi linda, a bailar el twist. Venga, se mi linda, a bailar el twist. Mueve las caderas al ritmo del twist. Cáete para abajo y levántate otra vez. Cáete para abajo y levántate otra vez. Mueve las caderas con mucha delicadez. Vueltas y vueltas vamos a dar de este lindo baile a disfrutar. Vueltas y vueltas vamos a dar de este lindo baile a disfrutar. Muévete mi linda con todo el corazón. Este es el torcido, qué bonitos son. Del twist, cáete para abajo y levántate otra vez. Cáete para abajo y levántate otra vez. Mueve las caderas con mucha delicadez. Vueltas y vueltas vamos a dar de este lindo baile a disfrutar. Vueltas y vueltas vamos a dar de este lindo baile a disfrutar. Muévete mi linda con todo el corazón. Este es el torcido, qué bonitos son.
Thank you. Ay, qué bonita es esta vida cuando se quieren dos con amor. Pero algún día todo se acaba y Dios recoge lo que nos dio. Hay cosas tristes en este mundo y más cuando es cuenta de algún amor. No más me acuerdo, sale un suspiro, casi la miro y oigo su voz. Linda morena, estás en el cielo y sin tu anhelo voy a sufrir. De Dios quisiera que me recogiera y eternamente estar junto a ti. Un día que estábamos platicando, pues con palabras tiernas me habló. Yo estoy enferma, mejor busca otra, y yo llorando dije que no. Yo la quería con todo el alma, ella me amaba con su corazón. Y un día que estaba junto a su lado, vino Diosito y la recogió. Linda morena, estás en el cielo y sin tu anhelo voy a sufrir. De Dios quisiera que me recogiera y eternamente estar junto a ti.
We're back, Rancho Leader Radio, aquí con Mingo Saldívar, the legendary Mingo Saldívar. Y Mingo, te iba a preguntar, when were you married? ¿Y con quién?
I was married to the most wonderful woman in the world. Awesome. Zulema Páez Casanova Saldívar. Back in 57. Uh-huh. And here in San Antonio. Uh-huh. And we had three girls and a boy.
Oh, okay.
The boy's the oldest. He's in California. Uh-huh. He's like 53, 54 years old. Uh-huh. We were married 51 years and 4 months.
Fíjate, felicidades. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, but she left so many great, tremendous memories with the children. Uh-huh. And the way she was. And she was my manager.
Fíjate.
In Mexico. All over, took us to Canada, and she was forever with the band, and that was very important, I think,
right?
Because it sort of kept me in line, the presence of her wherever we went, and kept in line the rest of the band,
right?
Which was really good.
You know, you need that on the road.
Exactly. Somebody to, you know, to be watching, you know.
Right.
Anyway, she was a smoker.
Oh, okay.
And then finally, that's what took her.
Oh, pobrecita.
Yeah. Pero she left some great memories and a beautiful person. And anyway, we lived in, when we first got married, of course, my in-laws had a little rancho in Elmendorf, uh-huh. Texas, and we lived with them. And Actually, that's where we were living before we went to Alaska.
Wow.
And then upon returning, they had a little house on the East End that they let us use rent-free. And so they helped us a lot. And my folks did whatever they could.
Wow.
In order to get us going. But my dad used to tell me, you need to, get a real job, he used to tell me. Sí. Because la música no te va a dejar nada. But I was very reluctant to stay with it.
Right.
So I got another job in construction as a bricklayer helper. And finally, I became a bricklayer.
Fíjate.
So I used to do that. But I never let go of the music part.
Right.
And I couldn't do it as often as I wanted to. And back then, I remember the $8 a night per musician.
Wow.
Locally. And then having to play, I used to play Wednesdays, Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. I was a house band at this place called the Eastside Club. And then tried to work the other days. It was hard.
Right, I imagine.
But anyway, it takes a very strong woman to put up with a musician.
Oh, yes.
Very, very strong girl. And she was that.
Wow.
And, she just hung in there, for better or for worse.
Right.
And the children suffered a lot.
I'm sure.
Because we never had enough for this or that. And I was always, as it got better with the music, I was able to do more for them financially, but I was never there for them.
Right.
Because I was on the road in order to make the thing come together financially.
Right.
So, but in the long run, it paid off. And now when they grew up and they got married, to this day, anytime I receive anything for royalties, whatever, BMI or whatever comes in, I share with them.
Fíjate.
Because I didn't have it then.
Right.
And I get whatever I get, I give each person.
Wow.
A share of what I get. Finally, the doctor told my wife she couldn't be on the road anymore. She got back problems.
Oh,
she got several surgeries, and I took her off of the road. And so this is about 16, 17, 18 years back, and I told my youngest, Patricia, she was going to Southwest Texas College in San Marcos, which is now Texas University.
Right.
She was going, had just started there, and she said, well, I'll drop out of college and I'll help you 1 year till you get somebody to help you manage the band. And I couldn't decide whether I wanted somebody other than a family member to be the manager.
Right.
Because it'd been in the family for so long through Susie.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, well, that was 18 years ago, and she's still managing the band.
Fíjate.
So that's...
Yeah, we had the honor to meet her. She's a really nice person. And was that daddy's girl or era la chiflada de la familia?
Because the youngest was 11 years old, which is Debbie, when she was born. So you can imagine. But anyway, she became our manager and very good and started booking us, taking us to Mexico also, let's go ahead, like her mom. And Carnegie Hall.
Wow.
Just all over. And Brazil.
Fíjate.
We've been to, praise the Lord, to a lot of places. We've been to Africa, five countries in Africa, to Syria, Libya. We've been to, Syria, not Libya.
Oh, okay.
Syria, Jordan. Israel,
wow,
Jericho, and donde? Finally Jerusalem.
Híjole, qué honor. Qué honor.
I never in my dreams
right.
that would I ever thought that I'd go to the Holy Land.
Right.
But this is through the government. There was an outfit very important in being directly responsible for our success. I don't know if you remember the Texas Folklike Resources.
Yes.
Pat
yes,
Jasper and yes. Rose Reyes. They were very responsible for whatever success we had.
Wow.
And a lot of other bands that are connected with them had to share the same success. And they got government contracts together for us to send us on these really special tours.
That is wonderful. Aprevas que music is an international language.
Oh, yeah.
And
actually, those things were, by the way, intercultural cultural exchanges where they would, those countries would send people here, talented musicians over here,
right.
And we did the same. And it was very, it was like an, there was a good education for us when we did that, especially that tour where we learned the musicians would sit in with our band and they, I mean, they had never heard nothing like that before.
Wow.
And we never had heard that kind of music that they played before, and the instruments that we saw were, it was an education in itself.
Wow.
Very rewarding.
All right, we're getting a great history lesson here with Mingo Saldivar. We'll be right back. Rancho Alegre Radio. Rancho Alegre Radio with Mingo Saldivar. And Mingo, one thing that a lot of people don't realize, and we first heard this from Enaro Aguilar of Los Aguilares, the stand-up bass. Tú también, you played that, and they don't realize how big of a part of Conjunto that was in the early days.
Exacto. Because, as you know, Conjunto was an accordion, way back in the beginning, an accordion and a guitar.
Right.
If I heard from my grandparents, and then an accordion, possibly a fiddle and a guitar.
Right.
And then the Tololoche, which is the upright bass, came into the picture. And that really changed the sound.
Right.
Accordion, and then no guitar, bajo sexto, and the upright bass. And I learned to play that in my, that was one of my, the first guitar and then the upright bass.
Uh-huh.
But that was my second instrument. And I was I've always been, you know, short. And the upright bases, those, you have to reach way up there to hit the lower notes on the bass.
Right, right.
So they actually built these two crates, sort of pop crates, put them together, and I would have to get all the crates to reach the bass. And it just made a difference with the accordion and wow. the bajo sexto playing wow. the bass. And that went on for a long, long time before drums came into the picture.
Wow.
The bass, upright bass, was very important. And to this day, if you notice, you know, a lot of jazz bands, uh-huh. that play jazz, would prefer upright bass as opposed to an electric bass.
Right.
Because it's got its own original sound.
Right.
And when you hear an upright bass, you know.
You know it.
You know it's an upright bass and not an electric bass.
That's right.
So, it's, I guess, like everything else, all things that, original things.
Right.
Are always the best.
And from what I've heard of the musicians that we've interviewed that played the upright bass, traveling with it was the real big problem.
It was a big problem. You always used to see the cars back then, you know, right. with the upright bass sitting up on the roof of the car, and the accordion and the wahoo could be fit in the trunk.
Right.
And it was difficult for trips. And it says, well, they used to tell me, well, it's not too hard to play the upright bass. A lot of people can play it, but not too many can carry it.
Right.
So anyway, there was a story back then, you know. But to this day, I'll never forget those days when the upright bass had a big part in conjunto music. And there's a lot of bass players in San Antonio. And in the valley, there was one gentleman, Jesus I forget his last name, that actually in later years used to light it up with fire.
Uh-huh.
He's from, I think, between Harlingen and Raymondville.
Uh-huh.
It's a little town there. That's where he's from. Viesca, Jesus Viesca.
Oh, okay.
And very known bass player. And there's a bunch here, Lorenzo Caballero, played guitar and played, Tololoche.
Uh-huh.
But his main thing was guitar. But back then, that was a third instrument for conjunto.
Right.
Upright bass.
You mentioned, you know, we mentioned how hard it was to travel with it. How hard was it to travel? I mean, digo, because hoy en día hay buses, hay vans grandes, 15 passengers. Uh-huh. En aquel tiempo, we didn't have that, ¿verdad? How was that traveling?
Well, back then, also you didn't have the sound equipment.
Exactly.
To carry.
Right.
And back then, on the bandstand, if you had a single guy or girl singing, or a duet, or a trio, or four, you only had that one mic, and everybody right. stood around it and sang, and that was wow. it.
Right.
And of course, the amplifiers were small; they could fit in the trunk. But it was difficult. It was very crowded. But back then, when you're, you know, it seems like you can do wonders when you're young,
right.
because sometimes yeah. I sit down and say, "How did we do that?" To go from, and of course, to go from San Antonio like to Austin,
right.
it was far.
Right.
It was a trip. For we thought it was very, very far, but there was no Suburbans or those. There was not even a station wagon involved in those first years. It was just like a regular car, and everybody piled into the car.
Wow!
So it was difficult.
Ya estaban los impuestos bien pescadores, ¿verdad? You know, everybody would pile up.
Well, exactly. Yeah, we were used to that.
Right.
And of course, being crowded when we went up north in these trucks, five or six families in
right.
the back of a big truck with a lona
right,
on top
right.
of it.
Oh,
you
yeah.
remember that?
Oh, yeah.
So it seemed like back then, not having anything else seemed like the whole world was traveling like that.
Right.
So, because I remember going to school barefooted, me and my brother Jesse.
Wow.
And we paid no attention to it because we thought everybody went barefooted to school.
Right, right. Qué cosas, qué cosas. And talking of touring, you're still touring. You still do the weddings, quinceañeras, divorcios, lo que sea, ¿verdad?
Exactly. And actually, those are right now, as we speak, at this day and age, things slow down for us. So we're only booking gigs like that.
Okay.
We just did a gig in McAllen, Texas, a debut. And I think we're doing another gig, that particular gig in McAllen, in August. There was another couple that went to check out the music, and they liked it, so they're going to book us for, I think, it was going to be in December, but not, it's going to be Valentine's Day, February 2012. So we do those jobs and anything related to the government. Or, you know, good jobs. And, of course, we do contracts
right.
for anything like that.
All right.
And we're able to do that. And, of course, now we have, during our lifetime, we had three motorhomes. And one with a small one, a medium one, and then a really large one. And, excuse me, now, in the past, let's see, the first van was in, the first one was in 76, then motorhomes, all the way to 89 or 90,
uh-huh.
and then vans again, 50 uh-huh. passenger vans.
Right.
And I've had, I think this is my third one.
Wow.
The one, and 50 passenger vans. But now, what we do, Baldomero, is we include in the contract now, they have to provide a sound system.
Oh, okay.
And so we just take what we call las hachas, like the hatchet.
Right,
I don't know where that came from. Traen a nomás las hachas, which is just the bajo sexto, the accordion, and the bass.
Right.
And they'll provide a backline, which is the amplifiers. Instruments.
Okay.
And I've got a harmonica player in my band, and he's from California, living in Houston, and he's been with me for a number of years. And then, of course, he's got the smallest case of all.
Right, of course.
He's got 15 harmonicas in a little box like that.
Wow.
So,
wow.
But and we travel in that van, no problem.
That's good.
And we travel within the state like that.
Right.
Anything else? We also, they have to provide flights and
right.
whatever.
Right. Like we said, Mingo is still, you know, touring. He's still doing shows. And if you want to contact them for your special event, be sure to get in touch with Mingo himself. Very approachable. His daughter, Trisha Sandoval, who is the manager of the group. And you could go to MingoSalivarTexas.com. That's MingoSalivarTexas.com. TX.com, where you can get all the information. Look him up on Facebook. You know, punch it in, punch his name in on the internet, and you should be able to find any information. And let's go ahead and see la música de Mingo Salivar here on Rancho Alegre Radio.
Soy ranchero y tú lo sabes, qué cara tú me sabes. cuidar la siembra y los animales para poder pagar el precio que tú me vales. Me vales una fortuna y yo te voy a comprar. Vendo una parte de mulas y la cosecha del maíz. Ya me despido, chiquita, no se te vaya a antojar la fortuna de los pobres, porque te puede pesar.
Amigos, we're back, Rancho Alegre Radio with Mingo Saldívar, the Dancing Cowboy. Y Mingo, growing up, who influenced you? ¿Qué oías tú? ¿Qué clase de música brought you to the music?
Bueno, I love all kinds of music, but it goes way back to when mom and dad used to sing together.
Right.
And I fell in love with the way they used to sing, harmonizing. And like I said, my dad taught me how to do that, to sing. It was not easy.
Right.
And without encroaching on the other person's level of voice. And learning that, and then a little bit of the guitar, I was able to, when going up north, to learn English songs. And I immediately fell in love with hillbilly music. Mainly my thing when I learned the accordion was, of course, conjunto music. And but I always thought that we could do stuff like, you know, country.
Right.
And I had written some songs and all that, but they were sort of shelved because it seemed like it was just too early.
Right.
Back in the late 50s. And then, of course, your Freddie Fenders came out, Johnny Rodriguez's, mm-hmm. and all that, and that was great for everybody.
Right.
Opened a lot of doors. And then, of course, I started including in my recordings at least one CNW, country western song,
uh-huh.
but bilingual.
Right.
So that turned out to be really, went really well, especially in Mexico.
Wow.
They loved that. And of course, then when I recorded La Rueda de Fuego,
oh yes,
my heroes, Mr. John Cash,
uh-huh.
God rest his soul, Ring of Fire, did that also bilingual, and that went over really well in Mexico.
Wow.
And something really beautiful happened to us in Mexico.
Wow, that's great.
And,
that's great.
On our touring over there, but then I started toying with the idea because I heard this guy playing the harmonica. He sat in with us in San Antonio. We were doing something somewhere in the club. I forget where. And he walked in, and he sat in for one song, and I liked it.
Right.
So I took his name down and everything, and I started toying with that idea of what if we included a harmonica into the conjunto. And most of the people that I asked about that were very negative about it. They says, no, it's going to fight a lot with the accordion because it both have reeds. I said, yeah, but what if I just use it like, I had my own plan in my head about how to do it. So finally I did that. And it worked for us.
Wow.
Praise the Lord. And to this day, I have that the harmonica player, and when we play country songs, he's definitely there with us. And now...
And it sounds good. It sounds good. I've seen you live.
And then the other thing that I was toying around with, this started about 8 or 9 years ago, about including an extra bajo. Instead of one bajo, two bajos.
Wow.
And have them harmonize, and that came about when God rest his soul, Oscar Tejes. God rest his soul, was my bajo player. And I would include other bajo players, one from Roland Gomez from Corpus Christi, and Oscar Garcia from California, who now lives in San Antonio, and Max Baca. And they started harmonizing with each other, and it sounded great.
Awesome.
And you can have the Bacos do their own show.
Right.
So we started doing that. And so now that's part of the group.
Wow.
Two Bacos.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Siempre the innovator.
And you have to always be thinking.
Right.
And even if whatever answers you get from whatever opinions other people have, you need to follow through with your plan.
That's right.
So you yourself find out, okay, they were right, it didn't work.
Right.
But so far, thank God, it's worked.
Okay, going back a little bit on something we touched up a little, you said you joined the Guadalupanos. Were you before Flaco Jimenez, or did you replace Flaco Jimenez?
With the Guadalupanos?
Yes. I had heard that Flaco played with them a little bit. And
That was when, I believe, the Guadalupanos, we used to be a name that belonged to Los Aguilares.
Oh, okay.
If I'm not mistaken.
Right.
And then Joey Lopez became the leader of the Guadalupanos, and the name became his through which way, how, I have no idea. But when I played with the Guadalupanos, Joey Lopez was the leader, and I really don't remember if Flaco played with them or not. I know Flaco was part of Los Caminantes.
Oh, sí, sí.
Richard Herrera.
Right, right.
Very famous group, and everybody knew Flaco. So.
¿Y qué año when you joined the Guadalupanos?
The Guadalupanos. I joined the Guadalupanos in 19, let's see, 57. And then 58, 59. And then I got out of Los Guadalupanos. I played a total of over 5 years with Los Guadalupanos.
Oh, okay.
But there was a break in between. And when Flaco was drafted into the Army, I replaced him at the East Side Club at that club in San Antonio. He was a house band there.
Oh, okay. I see.
Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday gig, which was not all clubs would hire you that many days.
Right.
But it seemed like a really good job. But
right.
It was Wednesdays, then Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. And I played there for close to 1 year. Then I went back with Joey Lopez, back on the road with the Guadalupanos.
Oh, okay.
And, of course, then that led to the thing where the Alaska trip came to the picture.
Right.
But I recorded with the Guadalupanos several albums.
Okay.
And then, I don't know if Flaco might have played with the Guadalupanos or not.
Right. And that's one of the things we're trying to do is get some kind of, you know, the stories, you know, as much as we can. Some
exactly,
people recollect.
Yeah.
And, you know, and then I compare the stories and I try to get as much of it as I can to share with everybody.
Exactly.
So we're here with Mingo. Let's go ahead and take another break with showcasing his music here on Rancho Lere Radio.
He caído a esa, ni jamás no puedo ni hacer reír. de tu calor. Dulce es el sabor que me dan tus labios, dulce corazón. Tu amor ya me domina. He caído a salir, jamás no puedo. Me has rendido en tu rueda de fuego. Ay, amor, dame tu calor, dame tu calor. It makes a fire ring, bound by wild desire. I came in to a ring of fire.
Saldívar, here's an éxito en mi época con los guadalupanos con Rancho Alegre Radio.
Yo a ti te quiero con el corazón, nunca me dejes. Mía, que soy tu dueño, de mi amor. Tus lindos ojos, perlas del mar, tus labios rojos, me hacen pensar que soy dichoso. Me vuelven loco tus modos de amar.
Yo a ti te quiero con el corazón, nunca me dejes, mi lindo amor. Di que eres mía, que soy tu dueño, bien de mi amor.
tus lindos ojos, perlas del mar, tus labios rojos me hacen pensar que soy dichoso, me vuelven loco tus modos de amar,
modos de amar.
I hope you enjoyed part one of the Mingo Saldivar interview, and be sure to click on the next part of the interview, which is Mingo Saldivar interview part two, and hope you enjoy it. So we'll see you in a little bit. Rancho Alegre Radio. Keep